Good afternoon, America. Welcome to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop on Washington, bringing you all the news from the nation's capital the government does not want you to know. And I'm sitting here in the nation's capital in Washington, D.C., at the Campaign for America's Future. It is the largest gathering of progressive people, really, I guess, since the Democratic National Convention. I'm sitting here in a crowded hotel basement and giving you really some terrific guests today. My first guest is going to be Robert Greenwald. He is the documentary film producer, the one who did the documentary Outfoxed. What is it that a Republican like Roger Ailes gets control of a large media channel, and why can't liberals do the same thing?
Well, in the case of Fox News, it's pretty simple. Money. Murdoch has X billion dollars. He can buy what he wants. And he hired Roger Ailes to carry out his Republican vision. The good news, I think, in the media world, though, is all of the independent, all the alternative media that is developing. It's the way that I distribute the films. We know that the Internet, at least for now, is wide open. There's podcasting, there's PlayStations, there's cell phones. We're looking at a huge explosion in possibilities. In fact, I've started a new company called Brave New Films to create films, but to use all these different ways of distributing, all these different ways of getting them out. And I'm very encouraged and excited that the old media is going to always be there, but we've got a lot of opportunities for our side now.
And you look excited to me. It's nice to have my guests face to face. I got to tell you, you know, a lot of liberals, progressives across the country are not very happy right now. They're kind of depressed. People are still in sort of a post-election funk. They can't believe this guy was elected again, if he was. I mean, a lot of us think, frankly, they were hacking voting machines. We're not so sure about that. But what cause do we have for optimism as progressives, specifically in the media, which, you know, I mean, even the Washington Post and New York Times didn't say much about Bush going to war in Iraq. What reason should we have to be excited as progressives?
Well, I think the reason we have is the essential passion and belief on so many of our side about the issues. One week after the election, I was speaking in Los Angeles for Progressive Majority. There were a couple of hundred people there, and they all realized this is a long-term battle. One thing we do need to do is we have to get rid of the heroin, the quick fix, that the perfect presidential candidate is going to solve the problems. That ain't going to happen. But there are so many important, powerful, progressive issues that people can work on today, because the issues always lead to the politicians. Civil rights, women's movement, labor movement doesn't start with political candidates.
Okay, but our issues that the American people agree with us on. On Social Security, they're dead set with us. On Iraq, they have come to be with us. Now, the polls show that they very much support getting our troops out. They don't like we went there in Iraq. On the economy, people understand that Bush is ruining the economy. On every major issue, we've got support. How do we translate that into, you know, taking back the America, which is what this convention's all about?
Yes. Well, I think that's what the convention's about, and that's what the battle is about, which is how to organize, how to get people to go to the streets, to go to the voting booths, to go to the city hall, to go to their local school, whatever it is. That's how you begin to create the change, by getting more and more people who will do something, not complain to each other or not send an email. My least favorite thing in the world is people sending emails to each other complaining about what on. Every time you send an email to each other, you're wasting your time and energy.
Preaching to the converted.
Send it to a newspaper reporter. Send it to a politician. Don't do it just to your friends.
Robert, let me ask you this. As someone who's really studied the right wing and studied Fox News, are there lessons we can learn from them? Are there techniques that they've used that we as progressives can use? It worked for them. Maybe we should use some of the same ones.
Well, I don't think it's a technique, but I think there's a basic assumption that conservatives have followed, which is you have a set of beliefs, and then you work the message to communicate your set of beliefs.
Now, spin bites?
No, this is very important. Don't change the beliefs. See, on our side, people are running around, some of them, changing the beliefs. That's not what you do, and I think there's a great lesson here. Here's what we believe in. Now, how do we do a better job of communicating it? How do we do a better job of languaging? How do we do a better spin bites? But don't change those essential things you stand for.
And I tell you, I know the Republicans all the time are saying, oh, well, Democrats need to compromise. compromise. They need to back off. They need to go to the center.
Right, and that's what we want. We want advice from Republicans on what we should be doing. That alone tells you we shouldn't be doing it.
But, you know, one of the things, I mean, and we, of course, we're constrained because we have to tell the truth because we're true to our ideals, and one of our ideals is we don't lie to people. Fox News doesn't have that kind of constraint. I mean, are they, and you've studied them more than anyone else I know, how do they manufacture their lies? I mean, how do they say something on air and get to the point where I saw a recent poll that showed that 70% of people who voted for Bush think we found weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. 60-plus percent think Saddam Hussein caused 9/11. How do they manage to convey those lies, and how can we use the truth to combat those kind of lies?
Well, they're not a news organization. If you think of them as a political campaign of an arm of the Republican Party, which is what they are, they're doing their job as well they should, saying this is what the Republican Party believes in, and then giving you all kinds of information to support it. Our job, and by the way, Fox News, when all is said, and it's just, it's 2 million, 3 million people. It's not, in a country of this size, that powerful. Our job is to focus on the positive messages we have and convincing and organizing people on our side. My next film is about Walmart. If you go to walmartmovie.com, you can get the information. And there's a real effort in that film to talk to red state people. I've got people with NRA hats, people in churches, people with guns who on Walmart agree with us. So I look at it as a beginning of reaching out on economic populism, people who should be on our side.
So people with guns care about getting a decent wage.
And don't want their community destroyed, and don't want all jobs sent overseas. Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit about this movie. I mean, how is Walmart different from other discounters? I mean, we can go to Target or Home Depot. Are they all the same, or is Walmart uniquely evil?
Well, it's Walmart's size. First of all, I haven't studied the others. I'm studying Walmart.
Okay, fair enough.
And in what Walmart is, 1,500,000 employees, largest corporation in the world, don't give health care, encourage employees to use government assistance, go in and destroy communities around the country where they're large stores, where they're not wanted. And there's a great coalition of people across all kinds of lines who are coming together to say, stop this. When we change Walmart's behavior, we will begin the process of changing other corporations' behavior.
They also use illegal immigrants, right?
Illegal immigrants, gender discrimination, forced overtime, all of it stemming from this belief that everything's okay if you can squeeze an extra nickel.
Now, I know, for example, that in Quebec, Canada, and I think there's an example in the United States, you can tell me, they tried to unionize Walmart employees, and Walmart closed down their stores.
Correct.
There's an example in the United States as well?
They closed the meat department in a store in Texas in 2000 when they voted to unionize. Yeah, they'll do anything to stop unions. They'll do anything they can in this effort to continue to say all we care about is getting another nickel. Now, the Walton family, $100 billion, never worked a day in their life, all inheritance from Sam. That's not helping anybody in this country. That's
and they own Walmart.
They own Walmart. They have a huge
stake
of the stock
of it in Walmart. Now, is the administration helping Walmart? Is Congress helping Walmart? Do these kinds of things pick on workers? Are there policies that we could adapt at the federal level that would stop people like Walmart?
Yes, they are, because, of course, Walmart is giving money to politicians who will support them in a variety of ways. The Walton family is the biggest single donor of supporting changing the inheritance tax. And if you had $100 billion, you could understand why they're doing it. It's not right, but they're doing it. But, yes, this campaign to change Walmart, again, if you go to walmartmovie.com, you'll see many partners. There's legislative pieces. There's religious pieces. There's small business owners. But what our side needs to do is take this film, which is a tool, and go out and reach other people with it. Use it to go to your grocery store who's having a hard time. Use it to go to the flower shop. Use it to the guy who's unemployed and say, hey, $100 billion, you are being screwed.
The toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP. We always appreciate your calls. 877-57-SCOOP. I'm told it works here. There's also a local number, 202-387-1873. If you want to ask Robert Greenwald, we only have each guest for about 15 minutes. So here's your chance to call in and ask really one of the premier filmmakers who does a lot of underground movies. This show is, we provide you, as you know, Robert, all the information the government doesn't want you to know. And I suspect that the kind of movies you make are the kind that don't usually get distribution by the major chains. Is that fair to say?
That is fair. These documentaries definitely don't. And that's the exciting thing, though. You see, I look at it as a positive, which is nobody can stop me from making the movie, assuming I can raise the money, and nobody can stop me from getting it out there. I don't need to ask a gatekeeper. I just go on internet, and there are house parties and churches and schools, and your listeners are the distributors. They are Universal Studios. They are Warner Brothers, a DVD, a home player, and they're the distributor.
So how would a listener get WalmartMovie.com?
They go to the website.
Yep.
They can sign up now.
Okay.
They can sign up for a house party. They can sign up to get a DVD. They can sign up to help us make the movie. We want video from all around the country of communities that are resisting Walmart. We want them to participate in the film, and we want them to give us some money so we can finish it, because as you can imagine, the usual suspects are not contributing funds to get this movie done.
See, folks, you can go around the mainstream media and movie producers. We do have a caller on the line. We'll test this technology. Caller, welcome to the Inside Scoop. You're with Mark Levine and Robert Greenwald.
Hiya, Mark. It's Rod from New York City.
Hey, Rod. Good to hear from you.
Good to talk to you, and appreciating your guest work. What I'd like to know, I thought I heard you ask him earlier, is there an option to Walmart? Because a lot of times, you know the pattern, they come to a town, they blast, you know, they destroy all other commerce there, and then they go away. Is there some alternative, even if people have to drive out of their way?
In other words,
what big has a pretty good
Well, that's the question. What big discounter can we trust? Is that kind of your question?
Yeah, yes.
All right.
Well, I'm not educated in all the other discounters. I do know that Costco has a very good reputation for treating their workers better,
yeah,
for paying them better. I know there are grocery stores around the country that take care of their workers in better ways. Basically, if you support some of the independents, you're going to be helping jobs, and you're going to be helping our country.
So like mom-and-pop grocery stores?
Yeah, mom-and-pop, and, you know, smaller ones, bigger ones. But if you make a... But part of it is not just not shopping at Walmart. Part of it is raising hell and saying, Walmart, stop, change.
Yeah.
When we get them to change, it will have a huge effect on the rest of the country.
Do you advocate, like, strikes, protests in front of Walmart, something like that, direct action?
Well, I with the films, what I try to do is not say a solution. I'm not that smart. But I say, here's the problem. Now, your listeners are going to come up with 50 ways to put pressure on Walmart to change, using the film as the tool to make that change.
Got another question, Rod?
No, that's a...
All right.
I mean, is there a reference or a website that you could,
yes,
that you would know of, that you referred to as to alternatives?
Oh, is alternative for discounters?
I mean, what I'm really looking for is a list of do-gooders and do-badders.
Well,
you know what I mean?
So
when I could say, I'm going to go to Target, or there's a new Target in my neighborhood, should I go there? I mean, are they just like Walmart, or are they any better?
Well, Robert seems to think they are better. I tell you, he just had to leave. That's the way it works here at the Campaign for America's Future. We've got a whole row of radio hosts, and he's got another one at 3:15, so I'm afraid, Rod,
okay,
he had to leave. But I'll tell you what, I will ask him, and I will find that information for you, and I'll put it on the website. How's that?
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks so much for your call, Rod. I appreciate it. We're going to go to commercial break. When we come back, we're going to have Josh Earnest. He is the press secretary for the Democratic National Committee, and we'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop, right after these messages.
For Anna Briggs, now 94 years young, the ethical treatment of animals has been her life's work. Anna Briggs feels that each dog at the Briggs Animal Adoption Center in Charlestown, West Virginia, from scruffy mutt to sleek purebred, deserves a loving home. All have been spayed or neutered and current with their shots and vaccinations. Plus, the majority of dogs have completed basic obedience training. You can find photos and bios of the dogs at the Briggs Animal Adoption Center website, www.baacs.org. That's baacs.org. You'll be doing something very nice for the pet you adopt, and it doesn't take long for you to discover how much these pets will help you and add to your quality of life. The Briggs Animal Adoption Center is an affiliate of the National Humane Education Society. For more information, call 304-724-6558 or visit their website, www.baacs.org.
A challenge!
Magellan? No. Well, who knows what Magellan did?
Sail around the world!
Right! Now.
Sometimes, a child who doesn't seem interested is really a child with a speech or hearing problem.
Blackbeard? Who said Blackbeard? And what did Blackbeard do?
He was a pirate.
Time and again, it's been shown that a young student's ability to read and learn begins with speech and language and hearing skills.
Jamie, are you with us? Who can tell us?
He wanted to go to India.
Many communication disorders can be detected early and corrected, so learning and literacy skills can develop normally. Make sure your child has the speech, language, and hearing abilities to keep up in class. For more information, visit ASHA.org, a public service message from the American Speech, Language, Hearing Association, and this station.
Asia! Good.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, former congressional attorney Mark Levine, bringing you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. And I'm outside my studio today. I am in Washington, D.C., but I'm at the basement of the Hilton Hotel at the Campaign for America's Future, where they're having a campaign to take back America. It is the largest gathering of progressives since, well, I guess the Democratic National Convention. And with me, my second guest, is Josh Earnest. He's the press secretary for the Democratic National Committee. If you want to call in and ask him a question, you're welcome to do so, as always, just by picking up the phone and dialing 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. If you find that line is busy, unlike usually where they roll over to the next line, you got to call a separate number. If that line's busy, we still want to hear from you. You have to dial long distance and dial 202-387-1873. As always, you comment on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com. Let me welcome Josh Earnest, press secretary for the DNC.
How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing good. You know, when you first sat down here, I'm looking at you, and I'm a pretty young guy, but you look younger than me, and I'm a little jealous. You are the press secretary for the entire Democratic National Committee.
That's right.
And you're how old?
I'm 30 years old.
You're 30 years old. Now, how does a 30-year-old guy get a job like this? You know, I want to know who you know.
Right. No, just a lot of fortunate, knowing a lot of people and working real hard, too.
So did you work on one of the campaigns, John Kerry?
No, I actually have been at the DNC for a couple years. Uh-huh. So I was originally worked for Terry McAuliffe when he was the chair of the DNC.
And sure.
Spent about a year or so traveling the country with him, and then was at the party headquarters during the campaign, and now I'm staying on with Chairman Dean.
Yeah, now Howard Dean is obviously very different from Terry McAuliffe, and not just because Terry McAuliffe is real tall and Howard Dean's real short. I mean, I like both gentlemen a lot.
Sure.
But how has the DNC changed going from McAuliffe to Dean?
Sure. I mean, I think the way that I've described it, you know, for both of them is they are very different characters, but both of them have been and are the right men for the job at the right time.
Well, what does Dean bring right now?
Sure. I think what Chairman Dean brings is a renewed commitment to investing in the grassroots, to making sure that all 50 state parties all across the country have the resources that they need to elect Democrats up and down the ticket all across this country. That's a very important part of what the DNC should be doing, is investing in the grassroots and in those state parties to make sure that we have candidates on the ballot for every position, or that we're putting organizers on the ground. That's something that Governor Dean is committed to putting three or four organizers in every single state years before the election. That's something the Democratic Party has never done before.
You know, I have to ask, and this is, I got to say, this is an extremely optimistic convention. Everyone's very upbeat, very
sure.
excited, very much looking to the future. So I don't want to throw too much water on this fire here, but a lot of Democrats, a lot of progressives are kind of depressed around the country right now. We're still kind of reeling from the last election.
Sure.
What can you say to give us hope?
Well, I think there are lots of things to say. I think the first thing, and it's important for people all across the country to understand this, that Washington, D.C. right now, as depressing as it may sound, is a Republican town. It is owned and operated by the Republican
Party. Hey, now, wait a minute. I know D.C. Kerry got 90% and Bush got 9%.
He did, but
they are occupiers, all right?
they're the occupiers. But they're occupying the House of Representatives. They're occupying the United States Senate. They occupy the White House. And as we all learned in 2000, they occupy the Supreme Court.
Right.
And it looks like that they're only going to strengthen their hold.
Now, you're supposed to give me hopeful news here, Josh.
So what I am, though, is is what that means, though, is it carries a special responsibility. What it means is it means Republicans are responsible for every single thing that happens in Washington, D.C. If you're upset about your taxes, it's the Republican Party's fault. If you're upset about the way they're desecrating the environment, it's the Republican Party's fault. If you're upset about the economy, if you're upset about job losses, if you're upset about gas prices, if you're upset about rising health care costs, the American people will understand, do understand, and will understand that the Republican Party is responsible for what's happening in this country right now.
And in fact,
the direction's not very good.
Bush's ratings and the Republican Congress ratings, I believe right now, are at the lowest ever. Is that right?
The ratings for the Republican Congress are at an all-time low. We're talking below 40%. Less than 40% of Americans approve of the leadership in the Congress right now. And who could be surprised? I mean, we're looking at Bill Frist and Tom DeLay, who are more interested in using their own power to amass more power, not to use their power on behalf of the people who actually put them in office.
I want to go to a caller on the line. If you want to dial in, the toll-free number is open, 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. And if that's busy, you can try a local line, 202-387-1821. Caller, you're on the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine and Josh Earnest.
This is Bill from Falls Church.
Hey, Bill.
I'd like to ask Mr. Earnest a question.
I'll call him Josh. He's 30 years old, for God's sake.
All right. But, Josh, let me ask you this. The Republicans have got Fox News Network. They have spent lots and lots of money on Gordon Liddy and Hannity and
all the clones, all the Rush Limbaugh clones.
Yeah, and all of the Limbaugh clones. Why can't the Democrats, A, get more radio and television people, and B, why can't we raise money to keep these people spouting our message?
That's a great question, Bill. I think that's something that a number of members of the Democratic Party are committed to working towards. You know, I think one advantage we have is the people that we have are great. I mean, if you could be here in the hotel room that we're looking at right now in this ballroom, you see radio hosts from all over the country here who are broadcasting live, you know, to their listeners all over the country at this forum. So we do have a great platform to build on. But you're right, Bill. That's an investment that the party needs to make.
I mean, they got thousands of stations.
They do.
We have a few, and we're very glad for the stations we have. But, I mean, has the Republican Party put more money into the media? I mean, I don't mean just Armstrong Williams.
Sure,
you know, getting paid propaganda.
Actually being paid by the media.
But you know, I mean, it just seems like anywhere, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, okay, these are extremely liberal cities. And you turn on commercial radio, and except for my show, you're hearing is right-wingers.
Why is
that? What can we do about it?
Well, I think that they have put together a model in which they really do, at least with the radio medium, they really do dominate the airwaves that way. Unfortunately, there are some organizations like Media Matters that is doing a better job of holding those folks in check and holding them accountable for the hateful right-wing rhetoric that they use on those radio programs. So I think we're doing a better job. I think there's more that we can do. I know that this is a pet project of Al Gore's. This is something that he's
interested in. I was just going to say, do you think that Al Gore's channel is going to be like the opposite of the Fox Propaganda Channel? And by the way, on my station, I never say Fox News Channel. I call Fox Propaganda Channel.
We
believe in telling the truth here on the Inside Scoop.
Or at least a Fox Entertainment Channel, if nothing else.
Well,
right?
There's entertainment and there's propaganda.
Sure.
But there certainly is no news.
Sure.
Do you think that Al Gore or even like Air America setting up separate radio, is that the way to go? Do we need our own station to get our message across?
Sure. I don't think there's one easy answer. I think that's certainly a part of it. I think we need to do a better job of increasing our presence and having more progressive voices on the air. I think some of the efforts of Media Matters and other organizations like that doing a better job of holding the Republicans accountable and the right-wingers accountable for the things that they say and the quote-unquote reporting that they broadcast. And I think part of it is that there is still an important segment of the media that is the earned media, that is relatively impartial, that is interested in getting the facts and reporting the news. And I think Democrats can do a better job of interacting with them and delivering our message to them as well.
Go ahead, Bill. You're trying to say something.
Yeah, I want to know what the Democrats can do about getting sponsors for the liberal media, because if it takes money to make the media go around, why aren't the Democrats finding Democratic-leaning companies and individuals to sponsor programs?
Well, I a lot of Democrats are doing that. I mean, we talked about Al Gore. We talked about Air America. There are a number of hosts who are taking programs on, who are doing the satellite radio gig these days. That are starting shows that way. I think one of the party's efforts also is to make sure that we're We're taking radio hosts and making sure they're getting the right guests, giving them access to Democratic leaders. That's an important part of what we're doing to make those shows successful, to give them the content and the types of guests they need so they can make news and have an interesting program. So I think they're, you know, I don't think the Democratic Party, the DNC, needs to start a channel in order to, you know, effectively communicate our message. I think there are lots of different things that we can do, you know, to make sure that message is delivered and make sure that message is heard.
Bill, thank you very much for your call. I do appreciate it. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Local number is 202-387-1873. We've got Josh Earnest for just a few more minutes. Then we've got Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, who's been on the show before, I'm honored to say. And then later on, Michael Rogers, who is one of the bloggers here at the convention. Tell me this, Josh, what is going on at this convention? What is all around me? I see all this energy. What are people actually doing here in a way that will help Democrats and progressives into the future?
Sure. I, you know, Mark, this is not something that's sponsored by the DNC. This is this is the Campaign
for
America's Future.
Is this MoveOn.org or is this a separate group?
This is a separate group called Campaign for America's Future. And they're an important part of the Democratic Party, though, of, you know, the Democratic Party writ large. They're doing some important work to organize, to get people motivated, to give them the tools and information that they need to go so that they can go back into their communities, talk to their friends and neighbors and, you know, fellow church members and co-workers and employees.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, there's some contention that MoveOn.org or Campaign for the America's Future and so forth, that are they separate from the Democratic Party? Are they part of the Democratic Party? Are they trying to lead the Democratic Party, some would argue, too far to the left? Or what is the connection, if you will, between these groups and the Democratic
Sure.
Party?
Well, it's important to understand that they are completely separate. That the campaign finance law requires them to not coordinate their activities with us, to be completely separate from us. Clearly, we have similar goals. I think, you know, their belief structure is similar to ours. I think we have some different ideas about tactics. I think we have some different ideas about what our roles.
Well, give us the inside scoop. I got to ask the tough questions. What are some differences on tactics?
Well, I mean,
what's Howard Dean doing versus what MoveOn's doing?
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, the role for the DNC really is to serve as an institution for this party. To be the platform, to be the base of this party, and to make sure that our party in every corner of the country is prepared and ready to win elections in 2006 and 2008.
Okay, got a tough question for you.
Sure.
I just spoke just right today to a candidate, happened to be in Florida for a congressional office, and he said the DNC wasn't behind him. Florida was so gerrymandered that they just gave up. Are we really going to fight a 50-state campaign, 435 congressional district campaign, and help every candidate? Do we have the funds to do that?
We do have the funds to do that. It's not something that we used to have. We talked a little bit about Terry McAuliffe and Howard Dean. That's something that they've done together, is they've empowered the DNC with financial resources that we've never had before. We do have the resources there.
So come 2006, we can help every Democratic candidate
nationwide. We can, but here's the distinction that's really important. It's not going to be the DNC that's going to go in and help these individual candidates. The DNC is going to give the resources that are necessary to use your example, the Florida Democratic Party and the local Democratic parties all across the state of Florida, to make sure that they have the resources and tools and organizational infrastructure in place to help their local candidates, whether it's for Congress or dog catcher in their communities. We want to make sure that Democrats are elected to these positions up and down the ballot. We want to build a farm team so that as we start looking for new congressional candidates, that we have a base of people who've served in elected office before, who know what it is to hold elective office, who are experienced candidates, who are experienced in dealing with the media. And can really start a movement for this party and get our movement going again.
Last question, and this is one that you're probably going to shy away from, but I'm going to ask anyway. Is it Hillary Clinton in 08? Is she the front runner right now?
Well, every time I pick up the newspaper and read about Hillary Clinton, she tells me that she's focused
running for
on
Senate.
I know
what she said.
So I take her at her word.
Okay, fair enough. Josh, thanks very much for coming here on the Inside Scoop.
Thanks
we
for
do
having
appreciate
me,
Mark. It. We're going to go to another commercial break. Our next guest is going to be Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky. We're going to talk to her about whistleblowers, specifically that it's just come out that the Watergate whistleblower, Deep Throat, has come clean. And we're going to talk in general about whistleblowers and government laws to protect them. If you want to call in, as always, just pick up the phone and dial 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or comment on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. We'll be right back after this.
Tom DeLay is powerful, so why is he such a crybaby? I'll tell you today on Hightower Radio. Poor old Tom DeLay. Well, he's not really poor, but Tom is feeling poorly these days. DeLay is an enormously powerful politico. He's the de facto boss of Congress, controls tens of millions of dollars to advance his far-right-wing political agenda, directs hordes of corporate lobbyists, and is the legislative point man for the rich leaders of the Christian extremist movement. Yet, powerful as he is, Tom says that he's really a martyr, a victim of a vast liberal conspiracy that's out to get him because he's a Christian visionary sent by God to set America right. As he recently blathered to a right-wing group, this is exactly the issue that's going on in America, attacks against the conservative movement, against me. That whole syndicate that they have going on right now is for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to destroy the conservative movement. I mean, this is a huge nationwide concerted effort to destroy everything we believe in. What a solipsistic whiner. DeLay is renowned as a vindictive, vituperative, nasty, brutish political boss, but now we learn that he's also a pathetic crybaby. What has him crying is the fact that he's been caught in one case after another of political corruption and rank hypocrisy, so he's now wallowing in martyrdom, flailing at unseen enemies who, he insists, have nothing more important to do on earth than to try to get poor old Tom. The only one getting Tom, of course, is Tom. He laundered corrupt corporate money into Texas to rig congressional election districts to enhance his own political power. He has taken money in exchange for legislative favors, junketeered on the money of foreign agents, attempted to bribe another member of Congress, and canned the Republican chairman of the Ethics Committee, who had the audacity to reprimand him 3 times in the past year. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help oust this whimpering autocratic thug, go to www.ourfuture.org. Support for this program comes from the Progressive Magazine, featuring columnists Miley Ivins, Howard Zinn, and Barbara Ehrenreich, with features and information available at progressive.org.
If you've been thinking about consolidating your federal student loans, it's time to call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will explain the benefits of the consolidation program, including locking in the lowest rate in history, reducing your current monthly payment by up to 58%, and cutting down multiple payments into one simple check. For more information, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
This is a financial update. Average mortgage rates took a slight dip this week.
Sorry to interrupt, but LendingTree.com is the only place where banks compete over your mortgage. Then you get up to 4 real offers to choose from within minutes. So do better and choose from low rates. Call LendingTree now at 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
I know everything. Languages? Yes. Boiling points? Celsius and Fahrenheit? Yes. World capitals? Please. So, not too long ago, I tried to get a refi, and I get turned down. And this is the best part. The loan officer says to me, sir, do you know what your credit score is? So, I looked at her and said, tell me, do you know what the population of Liechtenstein is? Huh? Do you? She didn't.
Get in the know. Check out ScorePower from Equifax. You'll get your credit report, credit score, and you'll learn how your credit decisions can affect your score, all for only $14.95. And knowing that is how you get the credit you deserve. So check out ScorePower at Equifax.com or call 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Well, now I have my credit score up to 760, the same number of days it took Frenchman Michel Lapointe to circle the globe on a bike. Yeah, I'll bet you didn't know that.
Get the power. Score power.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, former congressional attorney Mark Levine, bringing you all the news from the nation's capital the government does not want you to know. And as I've said, we are here live in the nation's capital in Washington, but out of studio. We're at the Washington Hilton Hotel at the Campaign for America's Future, the Take Back America Convention, the largest convention of progressives really since the Democratic National Convention. And my guest was going to be Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky. She's been delayed, but I don't want to put down Congresswoman Schakowsky, but I think we got to step up here. We have the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee, second only to Howard Dean. Her name is Susan Turnbull. Susan, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Great to be here with you, Mark.
Tell me this. You know, and I asked this question of Josh as well, but a lot of progressives across the nation, they're kind of upset right now. They're really despondent at the direction of the country. You know, the Republicans control all levers of power. What hope can the Democratic Party give us that, you know, we do have a future here? What are we going to do to get rid of these people?
Well, I can tell you one thing that Jan Schakowsky just said in her speech to this group, which was you can fool some of the people some of the time, and it's about time that we change that. I think that's where we're going, and I think that's the hope that we have in the future, that this man has been wrong.
Well, the toll-free number, first of all, is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. You can also dial locally, 202-387-1873. And, you know, it's interesting to me, as I look at the polls, we see the lowest poll numbers for the Republican Congress, I think, ever. And Bush's numbers are pretty low as well. I've seen as low as 43, 44. Are people starting to learn that these people have been lying to us?
I think so. I think a combination of a couple of things. One, this year we saw Social Security going down the tubes with him. What he's suggesting is really doing away with Social Security, and people get that, understand that, and don't like it. That's number one. Number two, government intervention in Schiavo was a huge problem.
In the Terry Schiavo case.
Yes, in the Terry Schiavo case. The government intervention in this was something that people just felt was wrong. And then third, I guess, thinking about this, I think the stem cell issue is another one. All of us have been affected one way or another with illnesses in our families, and all of us want to see science not hurt in the way it's being served.
Okay, but my question is, how can the Democratic Party capitalize on this? Okay, the Republicans shot themselves on the foot on all three, Social Security, Terry Schiavo, stem cells, and most Americans agree with us. But I don't see a lot of ads, and maybe I'm not watching TV enough, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't see a lot of ads from the Democratic Party saying, if you care about science, if you care about saving lives, vote Democratic in the upcoming elections.
Instead of the ads right now, I think people have sort of had enough of ads for a while. I think last fall sort of did us in for the time being. But what we do have instead are people on the ground. We have been organizing in all 50 states. We are organizing by having our state parties hire new folks to come in and to work so that the campaign isn't just a one-year campaign or an 18-month or a six-month campaign, but a four-year campaign.
Now, of course, for most of the country, that's going to be November 2006 is the next big election. I happen to be a resident of Virginia. Our big election happens to be this year in 2005. I have a lot of listeners in Virginia. What specifically is the Democratic Party doing, if you can tell me, to help us
sure.
in Virginia?
We have a historic investment in the Virginia race. We have people on the ground. We have committed millions of dollars, more than ever before, and I think that's a huge change than what we've done.
Well, that's great, and I hope we can get Tim Kaine elected as the governor of the state of Virginia. Susan Turnbull, thank you for filling in for Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, taking the time to be on the air. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. You can also comment on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. We're playing musical chairs here as Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky is stepping up to the mic. This is great. I've never had more than two guests on a show, and I've got five this hour. Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, you may remember you were on my show about a year and a half ago. You're one of my earliest guests talking about contractors, military contractors. You were on the Inside Scoop. I also remember because I worked with you a little bit because when I used to work for Congressman Barney Frank in Congress. I want to ask you, we just know, in fact, learned about the greatest whistleblower of all, Deep Throat, Mark Felt, the second in charge of the FBI,
right,
who helped disclose some of the Nixon, some of the worst of the Nixon breaking of the law down in Watergate. And my question for you has to do with whistleblowers. And my understanding is that whistleblower protections in our laws, that the administration is trying to do away with those kinds of things.
Actually, I've tried to get whistleblower protection in Homeland Security legislation and all kinds of bills that we've passed. And in fact, it's quite dangerous in this country right now to be a whistleblower. I saw the spokesperson for Mr. Feld saying that his legacy is that he's made that a noble thing to do, and that is, but in fact, in this administration, it really hasn't been.
Well, I'm very concerned because this is an administration that has given us lie after lie after lie. I mean, it's not just Iraq. It's not just Social Security. It just seems like every time their press secretary opens his mouth, or the president of the United States, or the secretary of state, secretary of defense, they're always telling us half-truths or downright lies that lead to real consequences, like the Iraq war. And it would seem to me that a good whistleblower, for example, we had the smoking gun memo, the memo from the British saying that George Bush was fixing facts and intelligence around the policy.
Well, you say we've had the Downing Street memo. Actually, isn't it quite astonishing that almost nobody even now knows about
That's
it?
That's true.
It
we reported here.
Yeah, I know that you did, but, you know, the mainstream media, people turning on television and watching the news, and I know nothing about that.
Why do you think that is? What is going on here? Why aren't whistleblowers speaking out? Why isn't the downstream media getting
on it? And it's truth tellers. You know, if you tell the president that the war is going to cost $200 billion, you get fired, or you
General
need
Shinseki.
More troops,
right.
That you get bumped out, or you're anywhere in the Food and Drug Administration, or in, you know, trying to protect Medicare, and you want to tell the truth, you're threatened with losing your job. As the guy who worked for Medicare who said this bill is not. Is going to cost a lot of money. You know, so it's the lack of transparency, the threats to people who tell the truth or want to expose the lies that are going on ought to be very disturbing to Americans.
Now, Congresswoman, you know this, I know this, I've reported on this, but as we know, I'm not CNN, I'm not Fox News. How do we get this message out to a broader American audience? What are we doing as a party?
Well, first of all, I want to say that the fact that you are talking about it is very important, and the fact that we have Air America Radio and Democracy Radio and, you know, all those things, I mean, it's very, very important. And on the Internet, where more and more people are getting their news. But you know what? I listen sometimes, occasionally, when I can stand it, to some right-wing talk shows. And you know, they are so repetitive, and they keep continuing the same drumbeat. And then when I listen to some of the more left talk shows, they call up. Do we call up them? I have never heard someone call up Rush Limbaugh and just take him on.
There's actually a reason, you know, for this. I'll tell you something. I'm someone who does call up right-wing talk shows.
Okay.
In fact, sometimes, a couple times, I've even played those on the air, which is really
okay.
fun to do.
I'm sorry.
But Rush Limbaugh, for example, won't take my call.
Oh.
They have screeners. One of the things I do, and if you call in...
Oh, so you have to kind of lie to get on.
Exactly. If you call 877-57-SCOOP, you know I put you on. Unless I'm running out of time, you get on the air.
Oh, okay.
I don't make any distinguish. But what they do is they ask you what you're going to say. And if you're not going to say what they want you to say...
It's like President Bush's Social Security hearings. They only let in people with tickets that agree that he should be able to destroy Social Security.
Just like his town hall meetings that don't invite two-thirds of the town.
Right.
And if you do go and you don't agree, you get arrested.
Oh, silly me.
That's how it works. But the main thing is to get the message out that is how it works.
Okay, but here's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
That I think we could be calling up the Washington Post and the New York Times
Certainly.
And the networks and say, this is a huge story. How come I haven't seen it on the evening news? I think they do respond.
So you think if my listeners were to write repeatedly, the Washington Post, the New York Times, and say,
right.
the smoking gun memo, you gave it one story on page A18
right.
2 weeks after it
exactly.
happened, and somehow Newsweek and Michael Jackson and all that was more important. This is going to war, lives lost. Why aren't you reporting this story?
These are commercial operations, and you know, and if they hear from enough people, and you know, it's kind of like the cockroach theory of organizing. I have when you see a cockroach in your kitchen, even just one, it's not you're afraid of the little bug. You can picture millions of them. So if enough people call, not all people, but enough people call, they say, oh, something's going on out there. Maybe this is a story we should be covering.
Tell me this one last question. What is the Democratic Party doing hopefully different in the next year, two, 3 years, 4 years that we haven't done in the past, where we now have a one-party state, the Republicans control all levers of power. What are we going to do differently to take back America?
Well, first of all, I think we are beginning to win. We're going to win this Social Security battle to preserve and protect Social Security, a major organizing effort. Thousands of activists, perhaps millions of activists involved in this campaign. We just won a vote on stem cell research last week in the Congress. I think these guys are on the ropes. My advice today at this progressives conference is what my mother told me: stand up straight. Stand up straight.
I'm sitting
up
now.
Be proud. Believe in yourself. Don't get squishy. That's what, voters don't like squishy. They like tough.
I couldn't agree with you more. The people that say the Democratic Party has to move to the center and be all squishy, we have values we believe in, and one of those values is absolutely Social Security, looking out for your fellow man. That's what we do.
And let's think about how when the Republicans started winning, did they do it by moving to the center? Uh-uh. They have moved further and further to the right. Isn't that amazing? And they have been winning elections. Well, we need to stand up for what we believe in, which I believe reflects the aspirations of the vast majority of Americans.
It's a strong point. Congresswoman Jen Schakowsky, thank you so much for coming here on the Inside Scoop. If you want to call in, my next guest is going to be blogger Michael Rogers, telling you more about the inside and secret lives of some hypocrites in Congress. He's coming on right after the break, and we only have a few minutes left, so get your calls in. Toll free, 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Comment on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. We'll be right back after this short message.
How George W.'s protective political bubble sprung a leak today on Hightower Radio. Well, well, that political bubble that George W.'s handlers keep him in has sprung a little leak. Most surprisingly, the rupture came at an evangelical Christian college, normally assumed to be a perfectly safe haven for George. Carl Rove, the handler-in-chief, orchestrates all of Bush's appearances, so only loyal supporters are allowed in, assuring that his boy never personally encounters the unpleasant reality that a growing majority of Americans oppose his elitist, autocratic, militaristic policies. So Calvin College seemed the perfect venue for a commencement speech by W. Located in GOP-friendly Grand Rapids, Michigan, this small, theologically conservative school's graduation ceremony would seem to offer a picture-perfect audience of adoring fans from Bush's base, the Christian right wing. So, 2 months ago, Carl bumped Calvin's scheduled graduation speaker and booked Bush in the slot. Imagine Carl and George's shock, then, to be greeted by a full-page letter in the Grand Rapids Press, signed by some 800 students, faculty, and alumni protesting Bush's appearance. They pull no punches. Your deeds, Mr. President, neglecting the needy to coddle the rich, desecrating the environment, and misleading the country into war, do not exemplify the faith we live by. It also must have been unsettling for Carl and George to find graduating seniors in this audience wearing buttons declaring that God is not a Democrat or a Republican, or sporting bumper stickers on their mortarboards asking, "Who would Jesus bomb?" Desecrating the environment and misleading the country into war do not exemplify the faith we live by. It also must have been unsettling for Carl and George to find graduating seniors in this audience wearing buttons declaring that God is not a Democrat or a Republican, or sporting bumper stickers on their mortarboards asking, "Who would Jesus bomb?" This is Jim Hightower saying, what Bush saw in Grand Rapids is a reality that Republicans, Democrats, and the media have ignored. Evangelical Christianity is not a monolith in lockstep with the Bushites. There is a deeply progressive, biblically based, and rapidly growing evangelical movement that separates itself from Bush. To connect to it, call Sojourners, 800-714-747.
Welcome back to the Inside. Former congressional attorney Mark Levine reporting live from Washington, but not from the Washington studio. No, no, no. We are here at the basement of the Washington Hilton at the Campaign for America. The phones one more time if you want to call in. We may go over today if you call in. So it's 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. You're also welcome to comment on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. And if you'll hang on just one second, we're having technical difficulties here on the, you know, the way these things are. Sometimes the blog's working, sometimes the ISDN lines are working, and sometimes the media encoder is working. Hold on, there we go. We should be back up. All right. See, you know, technology's a difficult thing here when you're out here.
Stellar job, Mark.
Down again. Yikes. All right, well, we're just going to keep going here. You know what? I'll tell you what, folks. I'm going to run a... No, you know what? It's working now. Okay, let's... we're back. Michael Rogers, you are a blogger.
Correct.
How long have you been a blogger?
Been a blogger just shy of a year now. Started out last July.
What makes a blogger? I mean, I have my own web blog, but, you know, mostly what I do is on radio and TV. How does one decide to become a blogger?
Well, for me, it was that I had a unique message to put out to the American people and couldn't find any place where my message was being put out, and I decided to put up a website using blogging technology. And I think it's important to maybe share, Mark, that people shouldn't be scared of blogging. It's not much more than a website and a way to publish it. And you can read blogs and become a part of the blogging world as easily as reading any website.
Now, how do you know if you're being read or if you're just sort of speaking out into the wilderness?
Well, we have counters. We have technology information that tells us, for example, at blogactive.com that I get about 3,000 visitors a day. At page1q.com, I'll get about another 2,000. And we can actually tell what parts of the world they're coming from, various statistics about them.
Okay, you have page1q.com, and what was the other one?
Blogactive, B-L-O-G, active.com.
Okay, so let's talk about, you sort of do different things on each of those, right? Tell me what you do on blogactive.com.
Well, blogactive is what I think I'm more well-known for around town in Washington, and what I do is I expose the hypocrisy of anti-gay politicians who themselves are leading secret lives.
So you're outing gay people?
People call it outing. I tend to call it reporting, because what I do actually is report on the lives that they themselves are already living as openly gay or bisexual people. So,
and yet they're voting on legislation to harm gay people.
Correct. For example, David Dreyer is a classic example. Here's a man who hardly, I'm not really outing him. People have known David Dreyer's gay in this town for 20 years or 24 years. He was known as, actually in the Republican circles back in the 80s when he came to town, as Reagan's party boy, because he was known to bring his friends into the White House. And he was actually called in by the publishers of the local paper. Here's a little inside secret. About 20 years ago, when he was kind of given the smackdown by the local papers, he said, look, have fun in Washington, but watch out who sees how much fun you're having.
He's a very powerful man. In fact, he's the. There's a lot of noise here, and I apologize for that, listeners. He's the powerful chairman of the Rules Committee. In fact, basically, no legislation gets through the House without going through his committee. He's a congressman from the state of California. And now you're outing him because he's not good on gay legislation? Or?
Well, what has happened was I exposed David in his hypocrisy because he has voted against everybody from AIDS housing funding to adapt medical research for people with AIDS and funding for medicines. He actually voted to prohibit gays and lesbians in Washington, D.C. from 3,000 miles from his own district from even adopting kids. So he has really gone over the line. But
I got a question. Do you think it's fair in any case that a politician votes against something that goes on in their private life to expose them? If a politician is against gambling but they gamble, or votes against pornography but they use pornography?
I do. I think that the problem becomes quite cognizant, Mark, when someone wants to live their life in one way but they want to establish a set of rules for people in another way. And
but can it go too far? I mean, Bill Clinton's private life was, you know, run through the gamut. Every woman he ever slept with was asked to go to the press. I mean, don't we then suddenly, aren't people afraid to go into public service?
I haven't asked Bill Clinton who he slept with because, to my knowledge, Bill Clinton never really cared much who I slept with. And I felt that the people going after Bill Clinton, frankly, were afraid to go after him on his policies.
So it's hypocrisy that's the touchstone there. In
exactly.
other words, if you have a gay politician who supports gay rights, you're not going to out him.
I have 450 some odd files in my home, which were actually relocated recently for security.
I'm afraid you're going to be broken into. You know, they did that in Watergate. I hope you don't live near the Watergate there.
They did, and I don't know Mark Felt, so I'm safe there. But
right.
I actually live just a few blocks from this hotel, and it's fascinating to see all over the neighborhood the people coming in and complimenting the work. But most important, I do think it's important that it is about hypocrisy here. It's not about the private lives of public people. It's about the private lives of public people who conflict.
Okay, now it's interesting here because you and I kind of do the same thing on different topics. We both explore inside sources in Washington that are telling us news the government doesn't want you to know. I mean, that's right. What I do. Yours is a very specific focus, but I got to ask, I mean, where are your sources? I mean, what happens if you can get a source that tells you something wrong, you report it, and
right.
now, you know, that man's wife is going to be very upset with you if it doesn't happen to be true.
I couldn't agree with you more, and in fact, that's why my blog, so far we've had 100% accuracy, and I vet every case with absolute certainty. And although people haven't known me, I've certainly been around the community for a long time. I've worked at the Harvey Milk School in New York, and I was the director of fundraising and development for the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force. So like any good reporter, like yourself, you have a cadre of sources in the government. When people deliver you photographs of individuals kissing other people, you have to figure it's probably pretty legitimate.
I mean, do you sell to the tabloids?
Absolutely not.
Okay. So this isn't about exposing hypocrisy, not about making money for...
No, not at all. Not.
You're not the paparazzi going around taking pictures? You know.
No, in fact, I name names on C-SPAN. I mean, I name names on when I was at the National Press Club and went up to James Guckert, his name.
James Guckert, yes.
James Guckert.
A.K.A. Jeff Gannon.
Jeff Gannon, and I went right up to him at the press club, so it's not about anything secret.
Did you help expose Jeff Gannon?
Actually, America Blog helped expose Jeff Gannon. I went up to him at the press club and said, Mr. Gannon, why won't you tell the American people who you had sex with on the White House staff or in elected positions prior to receiving your press pass?
And you believe that he did?
I do believe that he did.
Okay, what makes you believe that?
I have heard it from numerous sources.
Do you think you know who it is?
I do.
But you're not going to tell me here on air.
That I can't do.
Because
just yet.
You're not sure yet.
We're getting close.
So this is something that you think is going to be reported in the near future right there on blogactive.com?
I won't tell you the near future, but, you know, I'll tell you something. A long time ago, about 30 years or so ago, two guys were hanging out writing a story about a little break-in burglary over at some hotel. And as we know, the inside sources eventually came forward, and they eventually told us the story. And I can assure you that although Mr. Guckert Gannon appeared on Lie Detector last night, he didn't answer any of the questions that I had for him. So it'll be very interesting to see when he's finally able to answer those questions.
I don't know what Lie Detector is. That's some...
It's a new PAX television network that he went on.
Oh, okay.
And he answered one question.
So you think that he's been with some high-ranking official in the White House.
That's correct.
That's what you're saying. And you've got pretty strong evidence of this.
Not only do I have evidence and information that people have given me, but when you look at, and if you check out rawstory.com, you search in Google, you can find Mr. Gannon's White House access records, the numbers of times that he checked into the White House and never checked out, the number of times that he went in through strange access gates and came out through different access gates. It's all highly susceptible. And of course, as you know, Mark, the real question is why isn't anybody answering the questions about it? It's not that the information isn't there, but we need to find the inside scoops.
Well, I'll tell you something. I'm always glad to have fellow muckraking reporters out there. I don't know that I actually, you know, go to people's bedrooms and all. I don't go quite that far.
And nor do I. I want
to
make clear that I never, and when I'm giving information about what goes on in people's bedrooms, that's not what this is about. This is about the hypocrisy. It's about exposing hypocrisy because as GOP State Senator Paul Coring said when he came out with my assistance, there's no place for hypocrisy, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, and we're ready to call it out across the board.
In 20 seconds, I want you to tell me about onepageq.com.
Page 1Q.
Page 1Q. Excuse me. See, I already messed it up. Page 1Q.
Page 1Q. It's the fastest growing news aggregation site for the lesbian and gay community. If you care about lesbian and gay news, you want to go to page 1Q, P-A-G-E.